Here we are, James DeGazio, at the Uni Days conversation. We could call it a podcast. Don't know if we're there yet. But this podcast that is called Uni Days is really about trying to scratch beneath the surface of universities, per se, and get to know the people and their experiences, both leading up to university and then during university and then after university.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's an honor, and I'm happy to share my experiences.
Very good. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are here at Wellington?
Okay, my role here at Wellington is as Director of Performing Arts, so all performance comes through me, either for financial, budgetary reasons, and definitely for creative oversight. So, and that covers all the schools, whether primary, nursery, secondary, sixth form. I have to oversee all performances, including festivals and graduation ceremonies.
And you say creative oversight. That to me sounds easier said than done.
Yes, it is. But it's a challenge. It's an exciting challenge. And I'm working in a new country with new people. I'm learning a new culture. All of those have challenges. And I think of them that way rather than problems, because I'm learning all the time here. And I have a lot to learn from the people who work here. I didn't come in with a manifesto that I was going to impose on people.
Yet.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm joking.
True. Over the past 6 months, I've tried to understand how the systems work here and see how I can make those better suit the staff and the students they serve.
Super.
What's and I direct plays.
Oh.
The musicals.
That is no small thing.
No, lots of things.
Well, let's dive right into what will be actually a somewhat chronological start.
Okay.
From a while back. And let's go right to sort of you, if you may, describe what you recall about how you chose where to apply to university.
Well, my first university was easy because it was our local university. Dalhousie University is Canada's oldest, most prestigious for law and medicine. But those were two fields I wasn't necessarily interested in pursuing, but they did have a vibrant theater program there. And because I didn't come from a well-to-do family, it allowed me an opportunity to stay in the city, earn money over the summer to pay for my tuition, and live and work there. So Dal was my first choice. I didn't really consider going anywhere else. That's a lie. I did. I really did. But my family said I needed a degree before they would give me their blessing to pursue my career in the arts.
Well, and I think it's something rather perhaps of the past, or certainly more of the past, where really a wide university search was not a thing per se. And one really did tend to go to the university that was nearest to home.
I think so. I think I did consider other places, but those places were for the study of performance. So I looked at New York. I was looking at London, looking at either film or theater schools that were prestigious and well-recognized and produced the kind of performer that I wanted to be and I wanted to be in the circle of.
But from the get-go, yes, you did performing arts. So
yes.
There's a direct connection with you, the 18-year-old, 17, 18-year-old,
yes.
And the you of today, 29.
I love the North American degree system because it allows for so much freedom to... I could have done another 4 years of uni. I loved it. I got to study astronomy, Latin. I did the classics, ancient literature. I studied literature, Canadian literature, American literature, British literature. And then after that, you had to, and German. And then I had to hone in as the years went by, a 4-year program. But I think I would have liked to have spent more time exploring in my first and second year. And there were things I couldn't go on into. I studied astronomy and I wanted to go on into astrophysics, but that meant that I would have to leave that performance element behind because of the demands.
Well, you're certainly leading to this question, or you're leading to an answer to this question, which is what was your best learning experience at university? This is a wide open question.
Right.
Maybe it's academic, maybe it's not.
I loved German, taught me how to think. Latin was an insight into the past. I could read primary sources, and that was very exciting because I was a big history buff. And the performance aspect of it, they wouldn't even let you perform in the first year. You had to take an entire year in technical theater. So I was building sets and hanging lights and making props. And you learned the art and the craft from the technical point of view, because that's what underpins your work on stage. And you gain so much respect for what they do through that. But what was, to answer your question, I loved education. I always have taken great joy in it. What was the main thing?
It's okay if one thing doesn't, you know, stand out above all others, because you have certainly painted a picture of learning across disciplines in all kinds of areas.
You know what's something I did that was kind of funky?
No, I don't. Tell me, please.
Through studying astronomy, it helped me to, I rewrote the, not, hold on, let me rephrase that.
You rewrote something in astronomy,
like
apparently.
a monk in a scriptorium. I copied the entire astronomy core book, including all the drawings, and I still have that today. It was a tool to help me to understand better. And one thing that I still struggle with is what are called Cepheid candles, which are, it's a means of measuring stars through stellar parallax, it's called, at a distance. And still today I'm working on trying to better grasp that.
Wow. And so you recreated it, words and images.
Yes. Yeah. And I would often add more images to help me better understand the motion, Newton's laws and things like that, because sometimes they were kind of dry and I would doodle and create, you know, more expressive maps and so forth.
Fascinating. Again, fascinating, certainly because you do not sit here today as a physics teacher of astrophysics or anything of the sort. Mm. So that's fantastic.
That's a shame.
Yeah. who knows? You know,
I've taught astronomy.
You can put another hat on at Wellington.
In schools before, but it's a specialist kind of unit.
See, that right there is a reveal. You have taught physics at other schools, yet here you are here as the head of performing arts, meaning of multiple talents and knowledge and preferences, interests, and abilities.
Oh, you're making me blush.
All right, let's jump to how did you change during university?
I became more focused. I knew I wanted to be a performer when I was 14 years old. It was a teacher who transfigured me with my interest in Shakespeare, brought it to life in a way that no other teacher had before. It was like a hidden language, and I was so excited by it. And then I got a chance to perform in a play in Shakespeare, and then that was it. And then since the age of 14, I've been in the performing arts. And I've lost your question. What was your question?
How to change.
Yes, I changed in that I became even more driven to get into the top training course so I could launch a career.
Well, if you could change something about... Now, the question is, if you could change something about your uni, what would it be? But really, I want the question to be more, if you could change something about how you experienced uni, what it might be. So it could be something external, but could be something internal.
There are two things. And again, these are, I'm going to be very open about this. There was a major bully in my year group when I was in university. And he was a racist, a real pig. And he was also a misogynist. And he was just an awful person. But I let myself be not guided, but because he was such a kind of a force and a threat within our small class, I wouldn't invite a Black friend to a particular event, or I'd always have to apologize the minute that he left to that person. To say, look, I don't feel that way. We don't feel this way towards you. It's just basically we're frightened of this man. And nothing we said or did really changed the situation. So I felt I should have stood up for him more. And that makes me, I reflect on that and I wish I could have been better and shown more courage back then.
Mm. I'd like to rephrase a question again that I will have prepared you for, but the question is, so are you doing what you studied at uni? But I'm wondering, you will qualify it, I suppose, because of the variety of what you studied at uni. And so how much of what you did at uni, and by the way, your uni experience is so multifaceted, as it sounds, that just about anything you might be doing, you probably studied something about it at uni. But is that multiple answers to that question, perhaps?
Okay, yes, I am doing it. What I studied, I am using that on a daily basis. So that's awesome. However, not to the degree that sometimes I would like. I get to, with the A-level students, kind of scratch the surface of where I was. And that's always exciting to see them have those realizations. Because when you're teaching drama, you're teaching politics, religion, history, sociology, it's how the nature of man and how they cope in the world. And when in a school in Hangzhou, these kids haven't been exposed to that. So you're introducing them to philosophy and so many things that they've never been exposed to. And that's exciting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Could you chart your career path? So you just made it sound like there was some straight line between your undergraduate studies
pretty
and
much
today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you've done some other really interesting things along the way, have you not?
I think so. Well, from high school, I took a volunteer service in what used to be called Canada World Youth. And it was an international development agency that students went on. You spent 6 months in Canada studying a particular country that you were going to be placed in. And you learned their language. And you learn their history and so forth. And they would come to Canada and you would act as a host and you would work in a different location. I worked in Saskatchewan on a farm and there wasn't another person for 50 miles in either direction. So myself and my counterpart, who was Tamil from Sri Lanka, were on this farm. And I learned to ride horses on the farm. It was kind of lonely. And they were very evangelical Christian. And I am not, which created interesting dynamic at the time.
Repeat how old you were?
I was 18.
Okay.
So upon graduating, I did a year's civil service. And then after that, you get sent to the country, Sri Lanka. We worked there for 6 months. And I lived in the mountains of Kandy with no running water, no electricity. And we helped to build a road from one village to another. I taught at a local school. We did some work in a first aid station. But mostly it was digging a road from one village to the next in the mountains. After that, I went to university. My first job to support myself through university was working at what would be called a mental institution. It was gotten through nepotism because my mother's partner had worked there, and they're desperately looking for people because they were trying to transition people who had long-term incarceration back into the community. And they couldn't get enough people with behavior therapy degrees or psychology degrees to go into it because they were afraid.
And like people thought there was a risk.
Yeah, and there was. But because I didn't run away on my interview as they led me through the hospital, I got the job, so it allowed me to help fund myself through university. And I was going to go into art school, but I went into the theater because I loved the collaborative element of that.
I am going to digress a bit here and ask you to tell a story from your time working at the mental institution. You probably have many stories.
Okay, there was a set of twins there who...
And by the way, this was a job you had... for how long during your university period?
2 months in the summer.
And oh, summertime.
A summertime job, and then the next summertime position, I worked as a orderly for a cardiovascular unit. My mother was head nurse there, so I was able to watch open heart surgery, and I could ask questions because I grew up with these doctors, and if I had a question and they weren't busy or I didn't get an evil glare, then they would explain something to me as, you know, I watched the surgery take place.
A word that's coming to mind, and I will ask you to go further along your career pathway beyond university, but it has already diverged, I would suggest, as it's not a linear pathway, what you've thus described, but we're still in early days.
Yes. Okay. So, through university, I had a variety of jobs. As I said, the hospital, just two different hospitals. And then I worked as a director on a riverboat. I wrote and produced and directed a play on a riverboat for summer holidays. It was a play about the South. And we sang songs, people dressed up, they played cards, they were served dinner. It was dinner theater. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a year. And that was another summer. And then when I graduated from university, I missed the first round of auditions for the Royal Academy in London. And I had a year that I would need to raise money. Even if I got a place, it was extraordinarily expensive. So I went and studied at the conservatoire, which was for singing for opera. So I studied opera for a year.
In Canada?
In Canada, and would work. I did a lot of waiting and actors.
As in waiting tables
in
restaurants.
As in waiting tables and serving pizzas and all of that stuff, yeah. And then I auditioned in New York City and I auditioned in London, and I got callbacks to the Central School of Speech and Drama and the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. And when I got the call back, I had to earn the money to fly there to go, which was, it was frankly 10 minutes. So I had to fly, earn all that cash. Remember, Canada, it was 2 for 1 back then. It was $2 for every pound. So it was double the money for everything. So I went there, did the audition. I got called back, managed to get in, was offered 2 places, one at RADA and one at Central. I opted for RADA because they seemed more serious than Central. Central, they wanted to have a drink with you down at the pub, the teachers. Mm. And that wasn't really where my head was at.
Mm. Not your style.
No. I was more professional, and I wanted my teachers to be my teachers, and I would, you know, I didn't want to drink with them and hang out.
This really, though, is you entering into a second phase of formal education.
Yes. This is now a degree program. It's a degree equivalent. It's now funded as a degree. So when you take this course, it is a degree. So in fact, I've done 2 BAs, mm. essentially, one after the other, but one was academic and one was practical.
Mm-hmm.
But great. My first degree was academic as well. Sorry, practical as well, but only in the second and third year. In the first year, again, more hands-on technically.
Mm-hmm. With regard to the theater?
Yes.
When it wasn't all of these other areas you also studied?
No.
Let's pick back up on the career pathway then. So okay. you had this continued formal education.
Yep. So RADA, at the end of your 3 years of study there, you have what works out to 10 minutes in front of London's leading agents. All the agents, anyone who's anybody, comes to the Royal Academy. My mentor was Alan Rickman. So he was the one who helped guide me in my choices of monologues and speeches and scenes that I would do. And then you would perform in front of all of these agents. So 3 years, you get 5 minutes, essentially. And it's a hope that you get chosen.
Chosen for what among the possible things?
As an actor in their company, in their agency.
Okay, so this is not to appear in some advertisement for the Premier League or something of that sort.
Yes, they have Premier League agencies who only handle movie stars or only handle very specific clients. And if you get into them, then they would be mentoring and molding you to go on that track.
But your track was classical theater? Is that
yes.
But it would be?
We were taught film and television. We were taught musical technique as well. But I wanted to do Shakespeare. That was classics for me. Yeah.
And you did. You went on.
Yes. Now,
so because your job today is not acting in Shakespeare plays. So there's some things have happened in between.
Okay. Yes.
As we continue along your career pathway.
Okay. I worked.
And again, thinking of, part of the point of the question is at one time to illustrate the connection with university study, but on the other hand, it may be to point out how you can't predict the unusual turns that path may take that your university study may not have predicted.
Absolutely. I think that what they prepared us for at university was for the Royal Academy, that my work at uni prepared me for RADA. Because when I stepped into that, I was a big fish in a little pond, and I went in, I was a minnow in a very big ocean. And I was in a class with people who sat on Olivier's knee mm-hmm. and were friends, had dinner parties with major movie stars and the British elite. A lot of the people there were Oxford graduates. People who had changed their career from, we had a lawyer who had graduated and done his degree and set the bar, was a qualified lawyer, gave it up, and went into the theater.
What you're describing really is the general topic of network. And you're saying that you arrived in a place where a lot of people already had a well-established network of connections.
Yes.
With people in industry or other people that could have guided them along the way. You, on the other hand, really showed up without a network.
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
It wasn't easy. I was very gregarious and meant, you know, put myself out there, which is a very North American trait. You know, hi, how are you? That is frowned upon in the British circle. Mm. That was beaten out of me.
You still have it. I think you still have it in my experience with you.
Tiny, tiny little bit. And I just had to work doubly hard. I had to catch up on the reading. I went and I found out what the Oxford reading list was and what the Cambridge reading list was. And then I read.
And you read it.
Yeah. I read voraciously to try to catch up, even though I had had, I felt, a very good university education. I was now with people who it was part of their life. Theater was their life. Not in Nova Scotia, Canada, where I was coming from. We come from a very small province, poor province. One theater. There were little theaters, but one main theater in the, for our city, and that's it. So these kids grew up with going to the theater every weekend and the panto, and it's so it was a big game of catch up.
Is there one experience that you remember in particular where you felt like you succeeded in breaking into a network? You took a particular initiative that succeeded. You really had to go out on a limb or, you know, create luck for yourself in some way?
Well, one of the things you learn at this type of school is how to market yourself, that your agent only does 50% of the job. You have to do the other 50%. So you
can't. It's only 50-50. That sounds like a big proportion to the agent.
They get a lot.
They're just bringing you the opportunity.
Yes.
And you need to then turn that opportunity into
a real result. They won't even bring you the opportunity most times.
So what's their 50%? Pardon, I digress a bit.
They are representing you. You've got their name attached to you, which means it's quality.
Okay.
It's a quality assurance.
Okay.
And they might know that something's happening that isn't in the industry pages.
Mm.
And you have
through
to pay
their
for
network
those.
And connections.
Yeah. They were called the Red Book.
Mm.
And it has all the what is what's auditioning for television, for all the range. And there are auditions you can get in. There's open auditions. And then there are invite only to certain agencies.
So can you remember the moment when your agent said, yeah, I'll be your agent?
Oh, yeah. I was so relieved. I was so relieved. I had friends who I felt were more talented than me who got nothing. Imagine everything leading up to that moment. Fortunately, at that particular time in history, there were still grants, educational grants in the UK. They're gone now, but they were there at that time. But having to, all 3 years of your life, all that money, and then for no one to be interested in you at all, that is really hard, especially when they're particularly gifted or talented.
Well, and we know, I think, right, that the making a living in acting is a heavy lift. And you need no small dose of luck along the way, being in the right place at the right time.
And now comes the other career aspect.
Oh, we were on your career pathway, weren't we? That's
yes.
Right.
So I was trying desperately to get auditions, and it's a slog. And I had to do the most ridiculous things that really make you feel shamed and embarrassed. You know, for commercials, you just need to get your face out there and someone to go, oh, yeah. And then
the equivalent of sort of making photocopies in the office to work your way up from the, you know, sweeping floors mm-hmm. to getting noticed and getting the real job and eventually working your way toward an office and more responsibility.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing was apprenticing with a master swordsman who has gone on to do Batman Begins, The 300, Troy, so many films. He has been the fight choreographer or fight director of.
I was going to say, was he doing the sword fighting as an actor? No, he was the,
choreographer
of sword fighting.
Yes. And I worked with him because he was taking over our teachers. My teacher taught Errol Flynn.
Mm-hmm. And he famous
taught
actor.
Alec Guinness.
Another famous actor.
Yeah, I know, actors that people
you referred
like
to Olivier
would,
earlier
would,
as
no.
well. Yeah.
These were amazing actors of their time. Errol Flynn was known for his swordsmanship. And my teacher, Henry Marshall, taught them, and he was still around, but he was so old. He was so sweet, but he was getting on there. And then Richard Ryan, who stepped in to support Henry, I got on with Richard really well. So he started, if he needed someone to help him demonstrate or someone to help him with some choreography, then he would ask me. So I did that for quite a while.
So how would you rate your swordsmanship today?
I would, I'd...
Or maybe it's some external certification that rates your swordsmanship.
It is. I do have certification, but I would love to see somebody try.
I will not be that person.
I have over 15 swords and many daggers, and it's something I've been doing since I was 12.
Sounds like a vocation.
I just love it.
And you directed it in the right direction.
Yes.
Because it could have gone other directions, one would think.
Yeah, no, I was never like that.
Yeah. Well, and actually, as we are approaching the end here, we didn't get all the way through the pathways, I think, because
I can do
I'm just
quickly.
Guessing you've got, yeah, and then
okay.
we'll come back to
So I worked for Young Shakespeare Company. I worked for the BBC. I did lots of voiceover work. So the way an actor survives, the way an actor should hone their craft is you do as much as you possibly can. You don't limit yourself to just one vehicle. You're not a one-trick pony. So voiceover work, that includes radio drama, that includes games, that includes industry training videos. You do everything and anything to stay in the field. And if you can't find any work, you make work for yourself. You start to write scripts. You start to develop material. And then you find yourself, which I did at one time, being an agent myself. Mm. You know, I was working part-time as a workshop instructor, and then I would use my students in productions that and put them through my agency, not at any fee. This was just
that because. Sounds like an actual big success story, given that you were one time the young man without an agent outside the network. You got an agent. That was a big moment for you. You actually then became an agent, meaning you had a network that you could use to help others.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah,
well
I did that as a teacher. I was a teacher at the time, teaching workshops in Wales. And I would take my students when I was hired on film, and I would give them walk-on parts so that they would share the experience and have that opportunity.
Brilliant. Well, again, to not have... I apologize for having you have to give such a quick rendition of a sequence of many years, I'm sure. Any other critical step in this path of your career, if you want to call it that, or just your sequence of roles in life?
I have some advice.
Oh,
if
sure.
I could. And I know the wise don't need it and fools never heed it. But what I found to be true and is true with me is that when you're out there in the workforce or in education, you people will remember you and they will want to work with you again if you're a decent human being and you're fun to be with. And you can be the most talented person in the world and a nightmare and nobody wants to work with you.
Soft skills.
Yeah, it is soft skills, but they're... That's a phrase, and I know you're... I know that's changing. Soft skills is changing to essential skills. There are skills, people skills, diplomacy, just being a decent human being.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun at the job that you do. Arrive prepared and ready. You're not expected to learn as you go. You come in having it learned. And then you get to play in the rehearsal space with amazing people. I've worked with, I don't know if you know, Steven Berkoff. Does ring a bell?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay. I've worked with a few of the megaliths of British theater. And as human beings, maybe not so nice, but amazingly gifted in terms of directing. And I've learned a lot from my experiences there.
I think what we may have learned from you, besides hearing this advice you're giving, is not just resilience or persistence, but the risk-taking. Again, putting yourself out there, making things happen for yourself. I thought you might be going along the way of there will be great teachers in your life through school and university, but at the end of the day, your best advocate is yourself. And not everyone is going to make nice things and good things happen for you. Very often you need to be the one to make it happen for yourself. It sounds like you've done that many, many times.
Yeah, I think when I was a boy, I'd come across, the concept of the Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my dream to be that. Now, I failed in the science aspect, as far as I'm concerned. I am not as learned as some of the people I looked up to as a child. But I certainly have a breadth of knowledge that isn't, I don't see it very often in society.
And it's not every day I sit down at a table and chat with an expert swordsman. It seems to me you may have already given what I always like to end our chats with, which is some kind of a reveal, something we may not have guessed about you. Now, you've obviously revealed really fascinating things already, but are you holding any back that you want to share with us now that you can share with us now, which is something someone who, sees you in and around the halls not have guessed about you?
I'm a big nerd. I'm a very big nerd. I was one of the original play testers for a game, those who know, called GURPS. And I've played Dungeons and Dragons since I was 12. I paint models and miniatures and do terrain and buildings. And that's how I de-stress, painting miniatures. I have an awful large collection next to my suits of armor. And my weaponry.
Well, we just got suits of armor in addition to the swords. So,
heck yes.
Fascinating. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For having this conversation about your uni days and beyond.
Yes, love it.
It's been a pleasure, James.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.